Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Mary Beth Carty is a multi-instrumentalist singer from Nova Scotia, Canada. Her Celtic roots and family history run deep, and her music is steeped in Canadian Celtic folk, trad, and world genres. Her second solo CD is called Crossing the Causeway and is available now. Mary Beth is my guest on this next edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about her new album and her Canadian Celtic music roots. Hi, Mary Beth. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us this afternoon. You are in Nova Scotia, is that right?
This is true. I'm in Nova Scotia, Canada, Antigonish, to be precise.
And say that again, the last part?
Antigonish is the name of my town. It's often pronounced wrong, but Antigonish.
Antigonish. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Antigonish. It's the word comes from a language native to here, Mi'kmaq, which is, since a few weeks, actually, it's the official language of Nova Scotia. So that's really cool.
And, okay, that's cool. That's something new I didn't know. And what did you call the language?
It's Mi'kmaq.
Mi'kmaq. Is that native to what group of people?
Yeah, it's the people are also called Mi'kmaq in their own language, Ilnu, like the people, and it's all through Maine and even down a little bit in Massachusetts, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, PEI, and then parts of Quebec. That's sort of the Mi'kmaq territory. So yeah, these days often at public events and things, there will be like a land acknowledgement where I'll give a land acknowledgement at the beginning of this interview. I'm doing this interview from unceded Mi'kmaq territory in Antigonish, Nova Scotia.
Okay, that's cool.
Also known as Mi'kma'ki.
That's awesome. Cool. Is that been home for you your whole life?
Most of my life. I was born and raised here. I spent about 6 years of my life living in Quebec City, which was an amazing place to live. It's one of the oldest cities in North America, and that was kind of where I learned my French. My French wasn't too good when I moved there, and it was a real immersion experience.
What is the your music? You sing that, I presume, in French? On your recording music?
French also. Yeah, French, English, and I do sing some songs in the language of my ancestors who came over from northern Scotland, the Highlands, Scottish Gaelic. So,
okay.
Yeah, I sing in that language as well.
What is your roots for getting you started in music? What's your exposure, influences? What got you started in singing and playing music?
That's a great question. I think, my mother loves to sing, so I think even while I was in the womb, I was really bathed in music, because my mother is literally always singing, you know, wherever mm-hmm. she goes. She's at the grocery store, at the mall, or at some big box store. Like, like when I was a kid, if I would lose sight of her, then you could always hear her, like, a few aisles down. So, yeah, I think that's how I got started, really. But then from there, definitely I kind of like to ham it up as a kid and sing when we had visitors over. And as a teenager, I taught myself to play the guitar and the mandolin, the bass. I played bass in my high school band. And that, I think it was like when I was 19 or 20, I picked up the accordion. So that's probably my main instrument these days. Yeah, guitar and accordion is what I mostly play on stage these days.
Is the music culture in Nova Scotia similar to other regions of Canada? Is it exclusive to itself in some way? How are the different regions compared to what you sing?
That's a really good question. I know different people would answer this question differently. But having toured a lot throughout Canada, I feel like we do have a lot of common elements, like from province to province. Like, definitely, there's the golden age of the fiddle for sure, and that's mm-hmm. no different in the United States.
Right.
Like, there was a time before television when the dance hall culture was the popular culture of the day, and that's just how people met each other and mm-hmm. how, like, couples got together and things. So I think that's common throughout. That would have been common throughout Canada at that time, even up into the north. The accordion was even really popular, still is really, the button accordion is still really popular up in northern Canada and the territories and mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. But that's a great question. I always look for the common elements, so
yeah.
I'm going to stick with that answer.
So when you move out of Nova Scotia in touring, are you bringing a different sound? You know, I guess I'm trying to think. In the United States, we've got Appalachian
yeah.
music, and we've got bluegrass music, and we've got Americana and folk and roots, and
yeah.
you know, and it's sort of specific to certain regions of the country, and so you can kind mm-hmm. of tell if a band comes from California and they're playing California bluegrass, you can kind of tell here in Virginia that they have a California influence. Can you distinguish if you were to go into
yeah.
Toronto, could somebody tell that you were bringing music from Nova Scotia?
Yeah. No, I totally agree that there would be that element of uniqueness to the culture here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Nova Scotia is Latin for New Scotland. And about 200 years ago, there was like thousands, like tens of thousands of, I would say, refugees who came from Scotland. And my ancestors, that's how they came to Nova Scotia, to North America. And with them, of course, they brought their language and culture, which...
Sure.
For people like me, it's still alive today, and a lot of our music has a very strong Scottish influence. So, yeah, it's got that dance music feel, but also there's all those laments that are really poignant as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like as I said at the beginning of the interview, we do have our Mi'kmaq people and culture here with all the dances and all the music and the melodies that go along with that culture, which are being revived now. Like, and I think the similarity between the Scottish and the Mi'kmaq culture is that both were very suppressed for a time where people were not allowed to speak their language. Same thing like with my ancestors, they weren't allowed to speak Gaelic at school. They were like, you know, they would take the fiddles away and the music and the dancing was sort of banned for a time. And
mm-hmm.
same thing for the Mi'kmaq. There was a time when, like, there's this instrument, percussion instrument called the jigamahan, and those would have been taken away. So the Mi'kmaq people would hide them in with the kindling because they looked
wow.
like just simple pieces of wood. Mm-hmm. But so we do share that sort of marginalized element. But there's one musician who's on my new album and who I do play with also in his band as a side musician by the name of Morgan Tony. And he and I and another musician on my album, Bradley Murphy, we're three artists who like to kind of combine those two cultures and kind of make something unique out of it. So it's definitely unique in that you might not find something like this in Scotland or any other place in Canada because of that sort of combination of marginalized cultures coming together to maybe create something new. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Is this a full-time pursuit for you?
It has been through most of my life. At this moment in time, I do have a day job as a music teacher at the local Acadian school.
Okay.
So I'm the music teacher, grade primary to grade nine, and it's all the classes are in French, and we do a lot of world music as well. So it's pretty fun for now,
So it's still full-time. It's just a different, it has a different look to it right now.
Yeah. Still music, right?
Yeah, right. So you have a new album, Crossing the Causeway, and that's your second. Is that correct?
That's right. That's my second solo album. And I do also have two albums with a duo that I used to play with called Bette and Wallette. So in a way I have four, but as a solo artist, two full-length albums.
And I think if I read the material correctly, you got some pretty good accolades with the first one, right? It got some good traction in different places?
Yeah, I got nominated at the East Coast Music Awards, which
is a
really prestigious event here on the East Coast of Canada. So I'm pretty excited when that came through. And I got some invitations to perform as far away as the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda, which was the most amazing trip ever.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. In the first one and then in the new one, is it all original, mostly original? Where's your music coming from?
Yeah. Great question. The first album is mostly original. It's a lot of the songs are in French, two original songs in English as well, including the song Anthony, which is pretty fun. And that song and that album has a real almost klezmer, French cafe, Eastern European kind of a sound.
Hmm.
And this new album, the first album has a French name, it's Les Bien Nommés, or I just call it the Red Album in English because the cover's red. But and there's two trad songs on there, traditional songs, and since I released that album, a lot of what I was doing was performing with other fiddle players and artists that do traditional music, and a lot of time I was playing for people visiting Nova Scotia, so a lot of tourists, and I was living in Cape Breton for a couple of years, which is a major tourist destination. It's an incredible island with a really unique culture. So during that time, I was trying to represent a lot of tradition, like older songs that I was gathering from the archives, So on this latest album, I do a lot of that material because I kind of wanted to, like a record, it's a record. You want a record of what you were playing live. So,
right, sure.
So that's what I did. I recorded a bunch of those and then there's three original songs. Maybe I composed a couple of instrumental tunes that are on there. And it's the new album Crossing the Causeway. It's sort of a mixed bag like that. There's two covers on there by songwriters from Cape Breton. So it was a good time to make there's 14 tracks on there, and it's cohesive, but also there's a lot of variety.
Yeah, okay. When you write your original songs, do you have a process? Do you have a corner or closet, or how do you find your rhythm when you want to create a new song?
That's a great question. Lately, I've been keeping a little notebook with album, or sorry, with song title ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's kind of good to start with a feeling and then kind of a chorus idea. And then from there, figure out what you want to say in the song. Like my favorite original song on the new album is called Blueberry Mountain. And that song actually stemmed, like the melody came to me in a dream.
Hmm.
And from there, I just had this idea of blueberries. I was given the theme of rebirth by this radio show was commissioning 21 artists in 2021 to write a song, and kind of inspired by the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme they had given me was rebirth. So I was just thinking about blueberries and how they really thrive after a fire. I was just also thinking of world events. My first two albums with Bette and Wallette, that duo I was talking about, a lot of the songs on those albums are political. So I am also very inspired by world events when I'm writing. So on that Blueberry Mountain song, the chorus, I sing fire under control. And I was thinking, yeah, it was around, it was early 2021 when I wrote that, but I was thinking about all the forest fires that had happened in California in 2020.
Right.
So that was kind of a tribute to that and all that sadness and destruction, but of something, idea of rebirth and something maybe good coming out of it in a personal way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that inspires me. But, Yeah. It's always, I just got to keep that notebook with the ideas so that if I don't have time to like sit down and write the song, at least I have a record, a record of the idea there in my little notebook.
So it sounds like you get words almost before you get music.
Yeah, like a phrase or.
Yeah, okay.
I think that my whole first album was just inspired by a conversation with someone. Like I was a very flamboyant dresser at this time. It was like, maybe 10 years ago. And there was like a discussion about a Halloween costume. Like I kind of looked like I was looking around in a Halloween. I was wearing probably an actual Halloween costume of a top hat that I got, you know, probably. And anyways, and I would dress it up with like headbands and decorate it. And like, this is my attire. So it's no wonder that, but yeah, that was just like a conversation. Someone said, it's your Halloween costume,
okay.
Everyday Halloween costume. And I was like, okay, just like that just sparked the whole idea for that whole first album.
Wow. Okay. I find it interesting. Every artist that I talk to almost seems like there's a different process for coming to what the final product might be. You know, just the other day I was talking to somebody and they get a melody and they get a guitar and they put the melody down and then they put words to the melody. So it's almost kind of sounds like it's almost opposite of your approach, which is interesting. How it doesn't really matter how you start or how you create it, you know, it always comes out like a song. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's me being a multi-instrumentalist. Sometimes I'm like, well, what instrument do I even play this on? Because it's really based around the melody.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll sing it with no instrument for a while. Like I play this percussion instrument called the bone. And a lot of songs that I've been writing lately, it's just like the stomp with the bones. And
That's cool.
Yeah.
So do you tour outside? You mentioned traveling through into different parts of Canada. Do you travel into the States? Do you travel into other parts of the world with your music?
Yeah, over the course of my career, I've been really lucky to have, when I was with my duo, Bette and Wallette, we toured in France about 5 times. We had a bit of a production booking team over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then since I've gone solo, I have had the chance to tour in Austria with this production booking team called this crazy guy, Dietmar Hasselinger. He does these Celtic Caravan tours. So, yeah, good times there. Throughout Canada, I've been solo before the pandemic. There were these home roots tours, where it was like 2-week house concert tour of some part of rural Canada. So I think the last time I did that tour, I was touring rural northern Saskatchewan and Manitoba in February.
Wow.
So I would fly out there, rent a car, and drive around to these crazy remote locations like Flin Flon, Thompson, Snow Lake. And it was fascinating, amazing. I loved it. Like, imagine driving to your gig and seeing a dog sled team on the side of the road.
Wow.
Like, that's how awe-inspiring that tour was. But and I'm heading to Vancouver next week, actually, to play as part of Morgan Tony's band. So that is pretty exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah, coast to coast.
Yeah. So the album...
But as far as the States, you were asking about the States. Yeah. I should answer that part of your question.
Sure.
I haven't toured in the States, per se, but I used to perform on board Holland America and Norwegian Cruise Lines. So would... perform for American audiences on those ships. And I do have family in the States, so I'll often go down just to visit them, but haven't had the chance to actually tour there, but do love playing for American audiences.
Okay, that's cool. So Crossing the Causeway is the new album, and it's out, correct? People can find it.
Yep, it's up on all the streaming services, Bandcamp, and there's more info on my website, marybethcurdy.com.
And do you have things planned out? How far? Like, will you be taking it out into some new tours, new parts of some sort of tour that you've put together for this?
Yeah, that's a really... I should hire you as my ideas guy, because I'm really... I'm going, like... kind of week by week with this, but I have some shows coming up in March, in April, and I really need to get a released proper tour together. But I'm looking at signing with a booking agent. I just you have to get around to having a lawyer to look at the contract with me.
Right.
This is not something I should be saying in an interview, but it's like, you know, you're doing what you can as an independent artist.
Sure.
To get all your ducks in a row. So it's like, I'm just taking it one day at a time and giving myself some grace as I go along with it. But I do love performing live so much. So I would really like to get a tour together for the fall, because it's the reason I do this.
Yeah.
You know, to share.
Well, I appreciate you being honest about the answer. I think I'm making some maybe making some leaps with this statement, but I think a lot of the people that listen to this show love music, but don't necessarily always know what it takes to make it happen. And there's a lot that goes on in an artist's life before they hit the stage. Or the living room, or the cruise ship, or whatever that may be, that looks a lot like going to the office every day. And those parts of that need to be handled as well in order for you to be able to do what you do. So it's helpful that people know what that part, what those parts look like.
Thanks for understanding, Greg. Yeah, if you went into my house right now, you would see the living room floor washed with envelopes. Doing kind of a bit of a radio campaign, sending out records to people who do like to have the physical copy in hand.
Right, right.
So if anyone's listening to this who has a radio show, give me a shout. I'm happy to send along.
there you go.
I'm happy to send it along, yeah.
And, so,
and just anyone in general, like even if you don't have a radio show, I do have this... if you go to my website and sign up for my mailing list, I'll send you four songs. And one of them is this song that's really, what's the word, appropriate for this moment in time. It's called Aliens Are Nice.
And yeah,
it's,
okay. AKA kind of the balloon song?
I wrote it like 15 years ago, but for some reason it really makes sense now. But yeah, it fits with the zeitgeist of the time, if you will.
Yeah, that's cool. So on that note, how can people find you? What's the best way to reach out and listen to your music? What's the website? How do you like to communicate?
Yeah, so my name again is Mary Beth Carty, no hyphen, capital D, Carty, C-A-R-T-Y. So yeah, you can just Google my name. You'll find my website, marybethcarty.com. I'm on Spotify, Apple, Shazam, all the things, Bandcamp, and I would love to connect. So if you feel like sending me a message, I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and all those places, Instagram, Mary Beth Carty. Stompin' Mary is my handle, actually, at Stompin' Mary. But I hope you'll give it a listen. And like, I really believe in the therapeutic qualities of music, and I try to instill that into my music, whether it's like picking you up on a kind of gray day and making you dance, or like helping you feel your feelings with a tearjerker of a song. Like, I like to run the gamut. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Go there for some music therapy.
Well, thank you, Mary Beth. It's been fun. Enjoyed talking to you and getting to know more about Nova Scotia and your music, and we wish you the best with it.
Thanks so much, Greg. It's been a pleasure, and take care.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.